So we're here on Daf Tzadi Ches Omed Aleph on the top of the Omud. And we're up to Ema, which is the last word on the second line. And we'll read the Gemara, but we'll have to just, you know, refresh our memories. But first let's read the Gemara. Ema Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So again, we're talking about the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis. And the Mishnah allows, in the case of a Reisha, which is called the Eskupa case, that if he drops the head of the Sefer, he's allowed to be Megalgalit. And we said the reason for that is because Ogdo B'yada, this is not a violation of a biblical prohibition. And even though there would certainly be a gzera and a shvus, but our Mishnah reflects the shita of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon holds that kol davar mishum shvus is eino omed bifnei kisvei hakodesh. Then the Gemara went through an entire back and forth of shakla v'tarya. How could it be that our Mishnah opens with Rabbi Shimon, who completely disregards the Shvus for the sake of Hatzolas HaSefer, and that's going to be Rabbi Shimon at the end of the Mishnah, in the case of Hoya Omed Korei Barosh HaGag, and Rabbi Shimon says that even though the Rosh HaSefer fell on the ground of Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, golo etzlo, because once again, although we should be afraid that if he drops it, he might come and take it, and therefore violate a nisa doraisa of hotzah, because he's up on the roof, which is a rishus hayachid, and the sefer is now munach, it's resting on a rishus harabin. But nevertheless, in a case of Kisvei HaKodesh, Eino Omed Shvusim, Eino Omed Bifnei Kisvei HaKodesh. The Gemara points out, but wait a minute, we have, in the middle of the Mishnah, we have Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda is only going to allow you to be Golel, the Sefer, if it hasn't landed on Rishus HaRabim. But if it landed on Rishus HaRabim, and there's a real serious Shvus, and a possibility that he might carry it from, if he fell out of his hands, from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, then it's going to be also to Golel, and we're only going to allow him to minimize the bizayon to the sefer by hofcho al haksa, by turning it the other way around. So the Gemara first approaches this from the perspective of Rabbi Yehuda, which is Reisha v'Seifa Rabbi Shimon v'Mitziyosik Rabbi Yehuda. And then the Gemara offers an alternative of Rabba. Rabba would rather maintain the integrity of the Mishnah, and therefore he tries to work out the ratio of a skupa in a way that would satisfy even the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And that is that we're talking about an iskupa hanidreses. And the scenario is such that it's a very extreme kind of bizayon to the sefer, because that iskupa is an iskupa hanidreses. And in such a case, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the Rabbanon would overlook their Shvus for the sake of protecting the Bizayon of the Sefer, and allow the person who's standing on an Eskupa, even if this Eskupa is Rishus HaYachid, to roll the Sefer from a Rishus HaRabim, and that would apply even if it landed on Rishus HaRabim. Now, Abaye rejects this based on a Braisa, because the Braisa says it depends how far away from the Eskupa the Sefer actually rolled, it fell. If there's a 4 amos distance between the point of the, shall we call it the Eskupa, and the point where the Sefer landed, then we have an additional problem that he might be tempted to carry it 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah. Again, the fact that he's rolling it over for Ramas Chisaram, that doesn't bother us because it's Ogdo Biyada. But the Shvus is that if it would have completely fell out of his hands, he's no longer holding it at that end, then if we're afraid he might carry it in the Fila case, then he would violate the malacha of Havaras Dal and Amis Bishus Arabin. And in such a case, the Brisa says that since the Sefer again fell more than four Amis away from the Yaskupa, Hofcho Alaksav. Now, if you're going to argue and interpret our Mishnah as referring to Yaskupa and addresses, then what difference would it make? You could have a Shvus because of Hotzah, you could have a Shvus because of Havaras Dal and Amis, but in both cases, Rabbi Yehuda is going to accept the principle of Rabbi Shimon that called over Mishum Shvus Ein Omid Mifnei Kisvei HaKodesh because of the more extreme chiul and bizoyan to the Sefer in a case of an Eskupa and Adresses. And although Rabbi Yehuda would insist on the Shvus and drop the, you know, the Kavod HaSefer element because Hofchal Aksav, that's because of a case where it's not an Iskupa and Adresses. But if it's an Iskupa and Adresses, then even Rabbi Yehuda's on board that we're not going to impose a Shvus. Abai thinks it doesn't matter whether it's a single-faceted Shvus or a double-faceted Shvus. It's always the same Shvus that we're afraid that if you allow in the case of Gilgul, he will come to think that even in the case of Nefila, it's Mutter. But you know what? What difference does it make whether it's four Amos this way or four Amos that way? Within or without four Amos, in any event, he's standing in a Rishus HaYachid. So even if it fell within four Amos, the Shvus is that if he dropped it, he might be tempted to retrieve it and carry it from Rishus HaRabin to Rishus HaYachid and violate a biblical Avera of Hotzah. So what difference does it make by adding Arba Amos if the principle is that, and even Rabbi Yehuda accepts this, that for the sake of the absolute Chilul and be Zion of the Sefer Torah, like in the case of a Skupa and Adresses, everybody agrees that forget about Shvusim. That should apply even if you add an additional element to the Shvus that we're afraid of Havaras Dal and Amis. And therefore, based on this question and this Braisa, Rabbi Abaye rejects Rabbah and he reinterprets the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is referring to an Eskupa Carmel. So let's see that inside. Ella Amar Abaye. So I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. I don't have an easy way of indicating where Ella Amar Abaye is, other than to count down one third of the Amud from the top, which would be here in this case approximately, I don't want to say 20 lines, but close to 20 lines. Maybe it's 17, 18 lines. The first word in the line is Amos, and then we go to Ella Omar Abaye. So if we have more or less a unanimous decision that we have the place, let's begin with Ella Omar Abaye. So we're trying to understand in Abaye's new interpretation why they would be matir in the case of Golel, where part of that end of the Sefer is in his hand and he's standing on the Eskupa, they're going to permit it. And Abai says that the issue here is not Bizoyan HaSefer, but rather Hocha B'Eskupa Carmelis HaSkinon. The Eskupa, and this is a curveball in the sugya because we've been assuming until now that the Eskupa is Rishus HaYachid, says Abai, no. Our Eskupa in our Mishnah is a Carmelis, and not a Rishus HaYachid, meaning, although it may have the width of four Tfachim, but it doesn't have the dimension of Gova of 10 Tfachim in height. And even though we said, if you recall, that in Talmudic times they had such a thing as an Eskupa that was very high, the door post or the door frame was high, you'd have to climb up steps in order to get into it, and maybe the Eskupa itself was 10 Tfachim and it was very wide, it was 4 Tfachim wide. Nevertheless, says Abai, that's not the case of our Mishnah. We're talking about an Eskupa that's relatively low and it happens to be below 10 Tfachim, and that makes it into a Carmelis. Okay, Rishus Aram Overes Lefanel. This is what we spoke about all the time. This is not a chiddush of Abaye. So now we have a case where he's being megalgel a sefer from Rishus Aram into a Karmelis, which means that he is so-called, in quotation marks, violating an iser of hotzah mi Rishus Aramim, or shall I say hachnasa mi Rishus Aramim, into a Karmelis. Right, a Karmelis is also in both directions. You're not allowed to carry from a Rishus Aramim into a Karmelis, or from a Karmelis into a Rishus Aramim. In this case, he's actually carrying from a Rishus Aramim into a Karmelis. And there's no Issa Doraisa here in this case because it's only a Karmelis. So the Braisa now wants to say, wait a minute, what happens if we introduce a possibility of a Malacha Doraisa of Hotzah? Meaning, in this present situation as is, where the Sefer fell into a Rishus Aravim, but that Rishus Arav, but that X on the ground where the Sefer fell is within 4 amos of the Eskupa, meaning 4 amos of the Karmelis, so that in the worst case scenario, if the Sefer would be, you know, would have fallen out of his hands and he would be tempted, forgetting himself, to take the Sefer from the ground of Rishus Aram into the Karmelis, maximum, the catastrophe is that he violates an Issa D'Rabbanan of Hachnasa LeKarmelis. But if that's Toch Arbamas, but E Nofel, right, and therefore Ima Nofel Asel LeDechichat, Ishar LeRabban, Chutz Me Arba Amos, but says Abai, now I can understand why, in the case where the Sefer fell 4 Amos into Rishus Aram, meaning the distance between the Eskupa, the Karmelis, and the Makom HaNochas HaSefer is a full 4 amas, so that means that if he would drop the sefer, he maisilo, and then he picks it up and brings it back into the eskupa like he did the week before, because the week before it was less than 4 amas, but here he doesn't realize the difference. Is asili de chiv chatos and lo shor le rabbanu, where the Shvus is jacked up to a Shvus Atu a Chiyuv Chatos, a biblical violation of Melechus Shabbos, because if there are 4 amos distance between the Makom HaNochas HaSefer and the Eskupa, when he carries the Sefer, and if he forgets himself mistakenly from the location where it fell beyond 4 amos into the Eskupa, he has violated an Issa Doraisa of Havaras Dalet Amos Rishus Aravim. Here the Shvus gets very, very tough. It's not a Shvus of a Karmelis, it's a Shvus of Dalet Amos Rishus Aravim. And here, we're going to prohibit, even for the sake of Kovod HaSefer, overriding a Shvus Atu Echiv Chatos. Is therefore lo shorei rabbanon. The rabbanon are not going to allow him in such a case to roll the sefer back to the eskupa, even though he's holding on to one side of the sefer, one end of the sefer, and that's a reflection of Rabbi Yehuda Shita that we will not be matir an isa drabbanon even in the case of bizayon of kisvei hakodesh, but again only in a situation where the Rabbanan asked something because they were afraid lest you come to violating a Malacha Doraisa. And that's the case of Chutz Li Arba Amos. Because again, just to reemphasize, if it was Toch Arba Amos, then even in the worst case scenario, when he dropped the Sefer and he's not holding on to it, if he would grab it back into the Eskupa, he would not be violating an Issa Doraisa because the Eskupa is a Karmelis. He'd be carrying from a Rishus Aram into a Karmelis, which is an Issa D'Rabbanon. And therefore, the Rabbanon are not going to insist on that Shvus Atu Karmelis, at the expense of Bizayon HaSefer. But if, on the other hand, we're talking about Chutz Li'Arba Amos, where the Shvus is to protect you from the possible violation of, not Carmelis, but Rishus HaYochi, Rishus HaRabim Dalet Amos, then we're going to insist on the Shvus, this despite the Kavod HaSefer, and we'll try to minimize the Bizayon HaSefer by turning it on its inside cloth. So Gemara is not happy with Abaye either. Why? Because if we're going to accept the reason why the Chacham asked to take it back to him is because of a chashash, that even if it falls and now it's sitting on the ground of Rosh Hashanah and he might violate an Issa D'Oraisa as such and be chayav achata. So why did they prohibit Lahachzir, only in the case of this Galgal HaSefer Chutz Li'Arba Amos, is Toch Arba Amos Nami Nigzar Dilma Ma'ayel Mirshus Aram L'Shus HaYochi? One second. I don't understand what you've gained over here. The Carmelis itself is, I'm sorry, the Eskupa itself is a Carmelis. But the Eskupa is a threshold that takes you into a bias. The bias itself is for sure a makom mukaf mechitzas mikol tzadeh. It's a rishus hayochid. So why aren't we afraid, even in the case of toch arba amos, with a real shvus atu a melacha d'orais, that maybe if he drops the sefer right there in front of the eskupa, one amma beyond the eskupa, he's going to carry the sefer into the house. He's not going to stand there for the rest of Shabbos like a dumbbell, pardon the expression, on the eskupa. Well, what is he gaining by that? What is he going to read from the sefer on his, while he's standing on the eskupa? I mean, maybe the ger who came to Beit Shammai wanted to do that, but he's going to take the sefer into his house. So then he violates a d'oraisa because the sefer was munach b'rishus harabim, again on the side that he might come to do this, and he's bringing it into a rishus harab. I'm sorry, into a rishus hayoh. Oh, but now you have to point out that he's going to have to take it through the threshold, derech carmelis. So the Gemara says, v'chitem, and you'll say to me, kevin the mafsekes carmelis leslan ba. In other words, maybe there's no Iser and no Chiyuv Hotzah here from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, Achnosa, because the Mafsekes Carmelis, the Carmelis is basically on a Torah level of Mokom Ptur, so he's carrying from a Rishus HaRabim through a Mokom Ptur into a Rishus HaYochid. So that's already something that we know from the Mishkan. Amar Rav Hamaver Chavis Mitchilas Arba Sof Arba Veviru Derech Olam Chayov. So here's the case of Rav. You have a Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim only goes up to 10 Tfachim. He's going to pick it up from the ground in Rishus HaRabim, put it down 4 Amos later into Rishus HaRabim. He's Potter. Why? Because he carries it above 10 Tfachim. So the Chafetz went from point X in Rishus HaRabim through a Mokom Ptur and landed and was placed down at the end of Arba Amos in Rishus HaRabim. Rava says Yechai for such a thing. Carrying 4 Amos in Rishus HaRabim depends upon where you started, the Akira, and where you ended with the Hanocha. The fact that in between, during the course of this Arba Amos, you transported it through a Mokom Ptur, Lamala Me'asora, is irrelevant. And Yochayev Achatos. Just one second. Just one, give me a minute. I just want to make sure. I thought he derives this from...
Does he tell you? Rashi doesn't spell it out.
Let me just see if in the notes he spells out. All right, so we'll lean at it. I don't want to hold ourselves back. We got to get to Ben Azai here. Trying to remember what was Rava's origin for this. It's a sugya Masechta Shabbos. You see, does he tell you where it is in Masechta Shabbos? Aleph. Oh, he tells you that it's later on in Erevin, but I know it from Shabbos. What does it say? The Shabbos Ches Amid Beis? I think that's what it says. Shabbos Ches Amid Beis. Okay. I'm sorry. Where is it?
Ches Amid Beis.
Yeah, does he say there? I just don't have time. I don't want to miss the flow of the Gemara. But just the rational mind wants to know how Rava derived this conclusion. Was it, if you happen to have a Shabbos Ches Amid Beis, I when we finished Masechta Shabbos, I gave back the Gemara, so I don't have it right now. But let's not hold on. Let's just go on. So the Gemara says that I don't understand. How are you going to allow Glila to be goal of the Sefer when it landed within four Amos? He says, just one second, I guess now I lost the trend because I got so sidetracked here. What we're talking about is that we're afraid if it lands in Rishus HaRab, he might carry it Dalet Amos Rishus HaRab. Forget it. So now you're telling me that if it landed within four Amos, and there's no chashash that he would confuse that with a case of beyond four Amos, and he's carrying a four Amos Shusarab, then everything's okay. Why? Because the Iskupa is a Carmel is Abaye. I don't understand what you're talking about. Because we have to be afraid that maybe he'll carry it from the Rosh Hashanah and right above, right in front of the Iskupa, through the Carmel is of the Iskupa into his house, and then he's chayav from Maleches Otsa. And don't tell me that the Carmelis is Mafsekes Beinayim, because Rava says, Hamaver Chavitz Mitchilas Dalet L'Sof Dalet Beviru Derech Olam Chayav. So again, I'm thinking out loud, but again, if I'm talking to myself here, so nobody should listen. I think we're learning this from Moshe, that in the Mishkan, they passed it from one Agola to the other Agola. I know that was Rishusayochid Derech Rishusarabim. What about a case of Lamala Measorah, which is Derech Mokom Ptur? So that's, where do we learn that from? Okay, I need a Shabbos Daf Chesam in Beis. But in any event, what it really means is that a Mokom Ptur is a Mokum Tur is a non-entity. It's not another Rishus. You know, even though the Brisa says Arba Rishus is Shabbos, and one of them is a Mokum Tur, but a Mokum Tur really is the absence of a Rishus. And with Akira and Anocha, when we talk about Meleches, in this case it happens to be Meleches Hachnasa, but we're talking about picking it up in Rishus Aram, putting it down in Rishus Yachid, we don't care if he goes through a non-entity of a Rishus. It started in Rishus HaRab, it ended in Rishus HaYochid. So the Gemara answers, Hachamai Askinon, Biaskupa Arucha. We're talking about a case where the, you know, if you walk out of your house onto the threshold is very, very long. And therefore, the Ada Hachi Midkar. Just one second. The question is, what does he mean by long? If there's aruch, nimtza shabayis rochok mirshus harabim. Oh, habayis rochok mirshus harabim. It means that the threshold extends from the opening of the door all the way out there into Rosh Hashanah. And what it means is that when he retrieves the object, if we're afraid that despite the fact that the sefer fell on the ground of Rosh Hashanah, he's going to take it into his house, but he has enough of a time period, a lapse of time, from the moment he picks up the sefer till he enters into his house, because of this great length of the eskupa, such that he'll remember that he is now taking an object from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah, and he'll immediately catch himself and he'll desist. He won't bring it in. Ada hachi v'hachi midkar. Yizkor she'Shabbos hu. He'll remember that it's Shabbos. V'lo yachnis es ha'sefer miyad l'rishus harab. He's not going to immediately take the sefer into his house, because he all of a sudden realizes during this period of time, hey, today is Shabbos. You need a few seconds until he reminds himself. V'yamod l'nuach b'skupa. And he will decide not to take it into his house. By the time he gets to the eskupa with the sefer, he'll have reminded himself it's Shabbos, and he's not allowed to take it into his house. So he's going to be omed lanuach b'eskupa. Now, once he's omed lanuach b'eskupa, okay, here's we're going to get into the benazai issue, then he made a hanocha in the eskupa. Now, the hanocha in the eskupa does not constitute a violation of Meleches Hachnasa Doraisa. So that even if he'll subsequently take the Sefer and bring it into his Rosh Hashanah Yachid, he will nevertheless not violate an Issur Torah. Why? Because he picked up the Sefer in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, placed it down into a Carmelis, and then picked it up from a Carmelis, if once again he forgets himself, and takes it into from the Eskup into his house. So there's no way that he would have violated an Issur Torah. So that if it falls, the Sefer falls and lands 4 amos away from the Eskupa, then if it fell, he might forgetfully grab it onto the Eskupa. If he grabs it onto the Eskupa, then he has violated Meleches Havaris Dalet Amos. If, on the other hand, it is within 4 amos, then there's no way that he can violate an Issur Torah. And the reason for that is because he will remind himself in the case of an Eskupa Ruka that it's Shabbos today. So in the worst case scenario, he might put it down in the Eskupa and then maybe even take it from the Eskupa into his bias, but there's no Meleches Hachnasa here because he placed it into a Carmelis in between, you know, the Rosh Hashanah and the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Iboy, same, another possible scenario. Li ola beskupa shena arucha, but stam kisvei hakodesh yunei ma'ayin buhu menach luhu. In other words, when a person picks up a Sefer Torah or kisvei hakodesh, he's going to look at it, he's going to read it, and he's going to stop in his place to read it. And that's where he made his hanocha. So we're not going to be choshesh that he'll take the sefer from Rosh Hashanah directly into Rosh Hashanah Yochid, because he's going to break down that process by reading the sefer, and he'll be standing on the eskupa in order to read the sefer, and therefore he is considered to have done a hanocha in the Carmelis. This is called, if you remember from the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, this is called hanochas gufo, meaning that if a person is carrying an object and then he stops, once he stops and his body is in a state of nach, so too all that he's carrying is considered nach. So that if he stops on the eskupa, which is a Carmelis, in order to read the Kisvei HaKodesh, he has virtually made a hanocha in the Carmelis. And therefore, even though he may continue and bring it into his house. Nevertheless, he's being okirid from a carmelist and meniach b'rishus hayachid. So there's no violation of a da'orais. So again, Rabbi Osai, the fact that if he would have been chashud, if we really had a suspicion that he would take it directly from Rishus HaRabim into his house without any anoch in between, then we would have that serious shvus, atu a malacha d'oraisa, and we could not allow him to be megalgal l'seifa. But since we're talking about a case of either A or B, which means that he is going to take a break in the Carmelis, either because the eskupa is very long and therefore will have time to remind himself that it's Shabbos, or because the minhag ha'olam, I don't know whether to call it a psychological umdana, but the assumption that part is that he will take a break when he gets to the eskupa to read from the sefer. Again, this I'm tempted to think that there may be halachic requirements here. You have to really know a lot about Hilchos Sefer Torah, but it could be that, you know, you don't carry a Sefer Torah without reading from it every so often. I don't know exactly what the laws are, but maybe that's the kiyum of Kedusha Sefer Torah, that you read from the Sefer Torah. That's the kiyum kriya. In any event, the bottom line is that as a result of the fact that he's ma'ayin ba, he will take a break and make a hanocha in the Carmelis before he takes the sefer into his own house, into his Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, unless that's Abai's logic, the Bryce is saying, unless you introduce another element, and that is that the sefer fell 4 amos away from the skupa, in which case there's a chashash that if he dropped it tomorrow, he would bring it in, and that's called Mavir Daladamas Pishus HaRabim. And in such a case, you have a Shvus Chamur Atu Adoraisa. And that trumps the Bizoyan HaSefer, as opposed to the case where it fell within Daladamas of the Eskupa. There's no chashash of a Moloch Doraisa, so it's a Shvus on a different level, and therefore Kvod HaSefer trumps that Shvus. Now, in the case of Daladamas, where it did fall beyond Daladamas, let's just reiterate that Rava's position is that even if he would carry it Daladamas Bishus HaRabim through a Makom Ptur, he would still be Chayav. And here also, we're not going to say that Carmel is Mafsekes. And if he picks it up 4 amos away from the Eskupa, and then he carries it inside his house, he has completed a Molacha of Havaras Dalet Amos Bishus HaRab. This despite the fact that he's going through a Carmel. So Gemara again is not happy. V'leichus dilma ma'ayin ba b'rishus ha-rabim v'ayala behedja l'rishus ha-yachid. Okay, there's a halacha that he has to read from the Sefer Torah, but we still have to be choshesh that maybe he'll read from the Sefer Torah in Rishus ha-rabim. And as soon as he finishes being ma'ayin in the Sefer Torah, ayala hu badeh, he's going to now take it into his Rishus ha-yachid, into his house, and he's not going to make a noch in the Carmelis. In other words, why are you assuming that he's going to read from the Sefer when he gets to the Carmelis? Maybe he'll fulfill his obligation to read from the Sefer immediately when he picks up the Sefer in Rishus HaRabim before he gets to the Carmelis. And if that be the case, it's going from Rishus HaRabim directly to Rishus HaYochid without that stop in the middle of a Carmelis. And the Gemara answers, Homani Ben Azahi Diyom Ba'alech Ke'omei Domi. That this Mishnah reflects the Shita of Ben Azai, and when a person is carrying something, we consider it as if he stands every single time he takes a step and he puts his foot down. That's where the goof is nach, even though he doesn't really stop, he's continuously walking. But even so, when he puts his foot down and then he picks it up again, that's considered anocha. And mahalik ka'ome dami, it's as if he stood and did anocha at that place. And therefore, okay, I wanted to see how we would apply it in our case. Since he's considered mahalik ka'ome dami, the sefer in this case that he's carrying with him is not considered one continuous carrying, but it's nechshav kimunach, and therefore he picks it up in Rosh Hashanah and he puts it down in a karmelus. Why? Because before he carries the sefer Torah from the Rosh Hashanah into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid in his house, he first has to go through a karmelus. Once he goes through a karmelus, he puts down his foot, and that's considered anocha in the karmelus. The Gemara adds one more question. V'dilma zarek lu mizrak, meaning even Ben Azai only spoke about a case of mahalik, but not zorek. Mahalik means every time you put your foot down, that's called anocha before you lift up your foot to go forward. But in the case of zorek, Ben Azai has no objection, and there's no din of kimahalich domi. So if the man will pick up the Sefer Torah in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, and instead of carrying it through the karmelus, through the eskupa into his Rosh Hashanah Yochid, into his house, he throws it, then even Ben Azai would agree in such a case that he violates an Issa Doraisa of Meleches Otzah. Omer of Achabarada is also Meres Ein Mizarkin Kisver Kodesh. Honestly, I don't understand, like, you know, Rav Acha Bar Ava discovered America over here. Ein Zarkin Kisvei HaKodesh. I mean, did anybody have a Havamina that you would take Kisvei HaKodesh and throw it in the air in order to make it land somewhere else? I don't know. I'm not sure what that is all about. And what would be the implication of the Gemara if, let's say, if it wasn't a Sefer Torah, you know, they wrote things on scrolls, you know, they were Greek, you know, they wrote Greek philosophy on a scroll. So would we have a chashash that he would throw it and then it would be awesome? It could be that if it doesn't have Kisvei HaKodesh, then we have a general Shvus, and the Shvus is not going to be in any way set aside by Kiddush HaSefer if there's no and Kavod HaSefer if there's no Kiddush HaSefer to it. Let me just see, if you don't mind, if anything here is added. Added here in the English, I doubt it, but just in case. Usually it's Yesh Bechal Masayim Manah, that whatever in the Sifta is more than what you have in the English translation. But once in a while, we are not concerned that he might throw the scroll because it is forbidden to do so. That's all he has. So again, in the case of the Mishnah, where he's standing on an eskupa, we have number one Rav Yehuda, and he interprets that our Mishnah reflects Rabbi Shimon, and therefore, ein kol davar shu mishum shvus ein omed bifnei kisvei hakodesh. And then we had Rabba, who said that we're talking about a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore even Rabbi Yehuda would admit that you're allowed to take this Sefer because of the Darsim BaRabim, the real severe Chashash of a terrible design to the Sefer. And then finally we have Abaye, that we're talking about a Carmelis, an Eskup, which is a Carmelis, therefore there's no theoretical possibility even of violating a Molocha Doraisa, because we're talking about a Carmelis, and we're not concerned that he might carry the Sefer directly into his house, into Shisa Yochid, either because his escoop is so long that he'll remember in the middle, or we're following the Sheet of an Azai, that Mahalik Ka'omeg Domi, and therefore he'll stop and he'll have Hanocha in the Carmelis. That's what we have so far. Okay. Now we go back to our Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that if the Sefer reaches with below 10 tefachim, Sobach Lekarkas, Hofcha Al-Aksav, and we're not going to allow him to be Golel the Sefer back. So Gemara wants to know, Vaholo Nach. I don't understand. Even if it's within 10 tefachim, but it's still hanging, suspended in midair. And therefore, it's not in the Rishus HaRabim, on the ground of Rishus HaRabim. It may be in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, but it's not Nach in the Rishus HaRabim. There's no Anocha of an object when it's Ogdo B'yodo. And the Gemara thinks that in this case, there shouldn't even be an Issa D'Rabbanon in taking it back. Meaning, when it's Nach in Rishus HaRabim on the ground, so then you can tell me that we were afraid that he might come to carry it even if he had dropped it from his hands. And that would be a violation of an Issur D'Oraisa. But that's because you have a Sefer that's Munach Rishus HaRabim. Okay, it's Ogdo B'yodo, but Nefila means that we have to worry about Melechus Hotzah. And therefore, the best I can allow you is Hofchal Aksav. But if on the other hand it's Lo Nach, you're talking about an object that's not Munach anywhere, we don't find any sort of a precedent for an Issa D'Rabbanon in an object that's not Nach. All the Issur D'Rabbanon, all the Shvusim apply when you have an object that's Nach. And therefore, you can't roll back the Sefer to a Rishus HaYochid because it's already Nach in Rishus HaRabim. But we never found a situation where the Rabbanon would aser it because of a Chashash of Hotzah when the object itself is not Nach. In other words, basically, you could talk about an Akira and an Anocha, which is only Rabbanon. But that's because the object is Nach. So you're going to say, well, on a Doraisa level, it's not considered Nach because it's Ogdo B'yodo. He's holding on to the other side of the Sefer Torah. But you definitely have a Metzius of Nach. And therefore, once it's Nach, you have a Gzera. Maybe Yipol HaChepetz M'chad V'yachzer, so maybe he'll drop it and he'll bring it back to him. But all that is predicated on the assumption that the object is Nach. It's sitting in a Rishus HaRabim. Well, my Rava Bekoso Meshupa, that it really is Nach, and we're talking about a Koso on a slant, and the bottom part of this slant sort of, let's say, juts out a little bit towards Rishus HaRabim. The Sefer is actually caught on this Shipua. And the halacha is that this is part of Rishus HaRabim. And therefore the Rabbanan will prohibit bringing it back. So it doesn't have to be Nach al Gabi Karka. It could be Nach in the case of Kosel Mishupa. Just see if he adds anything here to this. He says that it's a sloping wall. The wall between the roof and the Rishus HaRabim is at an angle, and the fallen end of the scroll came to rest on a point on this wall that's within 10 tefachim of the ground. He calls it a point on the wall, but in the Hebrew translation he says that bolet tzido atachton klapi rishus harabim. It's not some sort of point on the wall. It's when the angle is such that it juts out into rishus harabim, and the sefer is munach al shipuo. I don't know what he means by a spot. You know, he says that that it came to a rest on a point, he calls it. I don't know, he doesn't really do it justice here. A point. Okay. Omale Abaye, Sabaye is not happy with Rava b'mayo kim to bilmas disim b'kosel mishupa ema seifa. The Mishnah says Rabbi Yehuda over afilu eno mesulak, even if there's only a hair space of a difference between the ground and the sefer, that means the Rosh HaSefer that fell, is gololo etzlo. In such a case, he's allowed to roll the sefer because it's not nach. What do you mean it's not nach? It's on a kosel mishupa. If it's on a kosel mishupa, then how could Rabbi Yehuda be matir here because it's lo nach von nachle? Right, the sefer got caught on what he calls a point, or what the Masifta says is a place where it curves over, and that's where it gets stuck. We have to rewrite the Mishnah. V'amed varma amurim. When do we say he's not allowed to be megagal etzlo? That's only because of meshupa, that the sefer itself is has rested on a slant. Avol. And here we're turning to daf tzarich esem beis. Bekosel she'eino meshupa. If the kosel is vertical, straight up and down, is then if the sefer ends up within three tefachim of the ground, lemalam yasot mitefachim golo etzba lematav mishlosha is hofchal aksav. So the Gemara wants to answer that if we introduce another piece in the Mishnah, we wedge it in the middle. And that is that when do we say the Isur of Golol is because of Kosel Meshupa? But if it's not Kosel Meshupa, then as long as it's not Nachal Gavi Karka, which means that it's above three Tfachim, because from the ground up to three Tfachim is considered Karka, Karka Smichta, Sifta Karka rises for three Tfachim, is then it's also lach zero. Why? Because then it's considered nach al gabi rishus harabim. But if it's above three tefachim and it's a kosel sheinu meshupa, then it's not nach. So the reason why we're going to aser it here is only in a case of a kosel meshupa, because then it's considered nach rishus harabim. But if it's a kosel sheinu meshupa, as long as it's not within three tefachim of the ground, then it's mutter. And if this be the case, let's see why Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Tanakam. Rabbi Yehuda omer afilu eino mesulak min ha'aretz el kemolei achut. So what happens over here when Rabbi Yehuda allows you to be goal of the sefer because there's a hairspray? You know, a hairspread of a hefsek here. To be eaten on nocha, meaning Rabbi Yehuda requires that it has to be nach on the karka. So if it's mesulak minaretz, you're allowed to be golol the sefer. To be eaten hanocha gabi mashu. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that even though we say that Samach Lakarka up to three Tfachim is considered Karka, but nevertheless there would not be an Isur the Oraisa to pick up something that is hanging in midair, even though it's within three Tfachim in the Karka. And the reason for that is because you need Hanocha al Gabi Mokum Choshev. This Hanocha is not al Gabi Mashu. I'm sorry, only al Gabi Mashu. He says here, Kol Ocha Omi Ba'avir, if there's even a little bit of an airspace, so it's still suspended in air. Af al Gabdu Somach Lekarka, Eini Sur Mea Torah Lach Zero. So what is the Gemara doing now with this halacha of three tefachim? There are two dimensions here. If you're talking about is it on the karka, the answer is considered on the karka, that's shlosha tefachim. But if you're asking is it considered munach, then we say that as far as the malach of Hotzah is concerned, when you need a hanocha in a stationary position where it's landed and it's being held up by karka, you can't say that it's being held up by karka. It's still considered omeid ba'avir, it's suspended in the air, even though it's so close to the karka. But therefore there's no Isur Torah to be machzer elav. Now again, according to Rava, we said the machlokes in Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is in order to be chayv achatos, you need anocha al gabi mokom misuyam. Ela hod yama Rava toch shlosha lirabonan tzarech anocha lema ketanoi amro l'shmaite. So Rava has a principle in Masechta Shabbos that if the chifetz within three tfachim of the ground, according to the Rabban and Shita, they disagree with Rabbi Akiva over there, they hold that a chifetz, once it enters into the avir, the airspace of that reshus, in this case of reshus hayochid, or alternative reshus haraman, it's not considered that it's munach al gabi karka reshus, even though it's below three tefachim somach lekark. Why? Because it's not physically situated on a place, you know, stationary and attached to a mokum. It's therefore tzarech hanocha. Is lema ketanoi amr l'shmaita. Now it comes out that what Rava said over there, Masechta Shabbos, would depend upon these two shitas of the Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda here in Masechta Erevin. Rava makes sense according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is going to say as long as there's a minimum airspace that separates the sefer from the ground of Rishus HaRabim, it means it's still suspended in midair, then it's not considered a hanocha. And Rava now reflects the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, but the Tanakhama of our Mishnah doesn't require hanocha gabi mashu. All he needs is that it reaches toch shlosha tefachim. So this principle that was codified by Rava in Masechta Shabbos, that even if it's toch shlosha from karka, it's not considered nachal gabi karka, that works well and reflects the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, but it seems to be against the shita of the Chachamim. And we would rather not assume that Rava, when he made his statement, he was going according to one Deah against the majority view. Ella, says the Gemara, Kula Rabbi Yehuda. The entire Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chisurei Mechzer of Achi Ketani. We have to add a sentence into the language of the Mishnah. Bamedvar Amurim, what's the case in our Mishnah where if it reaches Tok Shlosha Tfachim Smuchim Lekaka, it's also Lach Zero Etzlo, that's only because of Meshupa. And since the Kosa Meshupa, the Sefer gets stuck at a certain point, and it is now considered Nach, Nachal Shipuo. Aval bekosel she'enu mishupa, if it's a vertical kosel, and therefore there's no hanocha on the kosel, is afilu pachos mishlosha tfachim golo etzlo. Even if the sefer reached to that close to the ground, that its proximity to the ground is less than three tfachim, nevertheless we're going to be allowed to go the sefer. Why? Because Rav Yehuda Omer, afilu eina mesulik min aretz ela meloch chut is golo etzlo, my taima be'inan anocha al gabi mashu. So Rav Yehuda is really reflected in our Mishnah from the beginning to the end, and Rav Yehuda would agree that if the kosel is eina meshupa, there's no din of hanocha here with regard to the sefer. And therefore, even if it reached within three tfachim, samach lekarka, you'd be allowed to be gololo, because it's a kosel sheni meshupa, and there's no hanocha. But if, on the other hand, we have an airspace that separates the sefer from the ground, even though it's a very small airspace within gimel tfachim, but Lomaisa, in the scenario that we have here, the sefer is suspended in midair. Here, there's no possibility of coming to a chiv chatas because we need anocha, at least on a mashu, in order to establish a full-fledged melachas hotzah. So there's no possibility of violating a melachas hotzah d'oraisa here. And this, despite the fact that it's within Gimel Tfachim of the Karka, because there was no Hanocha, and Kol Shelo Nach Af Im Yipol Kulo Lershus Rabim V'Yeh Tolui V'Aviv Yachziru Elov Ein Kan Chiv Doraisa. So there's no possibility of a Chiv Doraisa. Ulekach, and therefore Lo Osru Chachomim Lachziru Elokish etzido ha'echad tofus biyado.
Just to read the language of the footnote here, he says, Pirish, urak l'shitas rova, shematzur chanoch al-gabi mashu, besoch shlosha tfochan suchan l'karka, lefi rabbanan acholkim al-rabi Akiva, ach rav chilkia, b'shabas daf tzari zayin, cholek, Visovish of a toch shlosha, lefi kulam nechshav kimunach, uludvarvish the farks a mishnah kaficha pe rashnua, mitchila, shenechleku bozera bonum rabbi Yehuda, lurabonim igiel shlosha, somakle karkos, lukhak zero, came in shenechshav kimunach agabi karka. And this is in the name of the Gaon Yaakov. He says, Af shehagmora kan ina rotza litlos es divrei rova machlokas tanoim mikomako matzinu brisa mefureshes shabbos daf tzadi zayin shabbosok shlosh tefachim asmuchim lekaka ein tzorach hanocha veloki divrei rova veikar kushas hagmora hi im nimtza tanoim b'mishnah lo kemo. Ach ma she yesh bebraisa tanoim acholkim al din zayin akusha. Mikomakom yesh letaritz divrei rova shabraisa medaberes bi ofen shemitchila hoya hachifetz besoch shlosha. Umiolam lo nekar mishlosha. Ach im magia lemala mishlosha betoch letoch shlosha. Lefi kulam tzorach hanoch al gabi mashu kein muchach. B'mesecha Shabbos Daf Pei She'af L'das Rova Choluk Mavir Mizorek L'gabi Din Zeh Im Nechshav Kimuna B'toch Shlosho Lo She'mavir B'toch Shlosho Nechshav Kimuna Be'echrek Mishum Shlo Yotzo Chutz L'shlosho T'voch Me'a Karka. And that's his Tosus Dibra Maschil Neima. Rashi on the other hand before She'ah Esachiluk Bein Mavir L'zorek B'yofen Achish She'bim Mavir Munach hachifetz biyado, v'nechshav kimunach agabi mashu, v'lo machmas shemi olam lo yotza michutz l'shlosha. Okay, there's an Avni Nezer here on this sugya, and we'll try to end here at the Mishnah on Daf Tzariches Amid Beis, the Mishnah on the top of the Omud, and that's the Mishnah of Ziv, which we'll pick up tomorrow.